1 John chapter 3, again, we're going to focus on verses 23 and 24, but let's begin reading at verse number 16. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Amen. Now, God inspired the writers, the authors of his word. And he used these writers to express to us the depths of his love toward us. He inspired four men to record what we call the gospel, the good news. And each of these four men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they each wrote from a different perspective. I read somewhere that Matthew was written presenting Jesus as king. Mark emphasizes Jesus as the servant. Luke gave us Jesus as the man. And John boasted Jesus as Messiah to the whole world, covering everything, all that we need in Christ. And John was inspired to continue to write, to strengthen still the faith of believers and to lead others to the Lord. And the previous passages that we studied were aimed at our hearts to make sure that we understand the love of God, God's love for us. God's love for us has no beginning and it has no end. Since he made the very first, he loved. And for everyone that God creates, and God is still in the creation business, he loves. It has no end. The love of God has never died, and the love of God will never die. It is alive. He revealed his love toward us, and he placed his love in us. You know, as believers, we're a privileged people, and we ought not to forget that. Are we better than other folks? Yeah, we are. Why are we better? Because we're believers in the truth. Because we know God. Because we're the promised people now, and we are privileged. We have passed from death to life, the Bible tells us. We've done that already. We don't have to wait until everlasting life starts. We've already passed from death to life because of our faith. We've had an everlasting heart transplant. You know, you think about that. We've had an everlasting heart transplant. Didn't need any surgery. Didn't need any recovery time. God changed us in an instant when we invited him into our lives. Amen. He made us brand new. And he set us on a new path. And the evidence is a new compassion towards people. People of faith and people who have not yet recognized their need for Christ. And the evidence is a willingness to lay down our lives for the brethren so that the world might know Christ. That's what it's all about. Last week we saw that not only does the heart lead us towards compassion for others, but the heart also convicts us when we fail God, either in sin or through a lack of service. And a lack of service is also sin. You know, when we don't serve God, that's sin against God. And that's what the heart does. It convicts us when we don't do that. The heart, or the conscience of the believer, it compels us to correct what is wrong. And it leads us to make right choices, to make things right in the eyes of the Lord. That same heart or conscience also cheers us on. That's what the Bible says. It says, when our heart doesn't condemn us, it gives us great confidence in the Lord. It congratulates us for services well performed, and it encourages us to carry on for the Lord. You know, that ought to be our prayer for missionaries who are out there, that the heart will give them great confidence, that God will show them great work. That ought to be our prayer for our little church here, is that God will give us great confidence through the things that we're doing as we see that what we're doing is impacting the lives of people. But sometimes the heart does condemn us. It corrects us. Sometimes it doesn't. When it doesn't, we're working from the heart to please the Lord. In the passage that we're going to study today, John says we need to not only believe in Jesus Christ, but we need to let him lead us. And when we give ourselves over to the Lord, he will lead us. And he will strengthen our faith in him so that we will be equipped, or better equipped, to carry on in his name. Now, 2 points I want to share with you today in the message that I've titled, Let Jesus Lead You. And the first is that Jesus wants us believing in faith. And secondly, he wants us behaving in faith in our service to him. Let's look first of all at believing in faith. As we look at the idea of letting Jesus lead us, going back once again to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 23, he says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know, we cannot be led by the Lord until we believe truly in the Lord. There's no leading except we first believe. And until you believe on the name of Jesus Christ and the work that he has done. You know, so often today I find that people want to declare themselves to be Christian, but they don't believe in the work that Christ has done. They want to declare themselves to be Christian, but they don't want to take heed to the commandments that God has given to us. And God says you can't do both. You cannot be a Christian and not follow. He says this is his commandment, that we believe and that we love, that we do as he commanded. And he wants us to believe in faith, and he wants us to believe completely in faith. And that is why so oftentimes the discipleship conversation begins with, to you, who is Jesus? Because it has to be established. To you, who is Jesus? He's not anything other than who he declares himself to be in his own word. Now, John opened his gospel with a call that we know who Jesus is and that we believe on him. So that's a great place for, I think, for us to start. Look in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That's on page 778 in your pew Bible. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. John, in declaring Jesus as the Messiah to the whole world, says, first, we must believe. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, we're very, very familiar with this passage. It says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, here's John is telling us we've got to believe on the name of Christ. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ is life. Now you think about Christ as our creator, as John describes him. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then he goes on, he says, and if you need further evidence of who he is so that you might believe, I want you to know that in him was life. Is that he is life, he made life, he breathed life into Adam, he came bringing new life to all men. He came as one who could not die to provide everlasting life for all those who could die, who would die. In him was life. That's who Jesus is. He says, and the life was the light of men. And his life was the light of men. His life changes the lives of men. His life changes the lives of men. That's why we have to start with the question, to you, who is Jesus? Amen. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. The name that brings life. The name that changes life. We got to believe. He says in verse 5, keep reading, He says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not our John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Not through John the Baptist, but through Jesus Christ, who is life and who is light. He says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what John is establishing for us. Now keep reading. Verse 10. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John said the world had so much nerve that the world rejected the Creator, and the world rejected the light. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John says, we have got to believe, first of all, in who Jesus is. Now, I believe that the Bible so oftentimes talks to us about a belief in who Jesus is because God knew the weaponry of the world. God knew that the world was always going to be trying to say to you, Jesus could not be who he claimed to be. Children in school, there could not possibly have been one being, one God who created all of this. There couldn't have been. Young adults, there could not be a standard of living established by one man and by his word. Older adults, you can do whatever you want to. God is not looking. God does not know. But the Bible tells us, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that he has done.
Amen. Amen.
If we are to truly let Jesus lead us, he will only lead us in faith and not away from the Word of God. He will never lead us away from the Word of God, but always in the pathway that he has established for us. John speaks of who Jesus is in verse 14 there. He says, Jesus is God. Jesus became flesh. Jesus became man. Jesus dwelled with his people. With John. With John the Baptist. With all the people that they encountered, yet he was still God. And you know what? Even though he was with people and all the people did not believe, the Bible says, still we beheld his glory. Still, he was full of glory. He was full of grace, and he was full of truth. God's best for us, his only begotten Son. And God commands that we believe in him, that we believe in him in the same manner that John the Baptist believed in him, the same manner that John the Apostle believed in him, that we allow him to lead us in faith. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you how Paul wrote. That's on page 889. For Paul wrote to the Hebrews. Paul wrote to the Hebrews in this chapter that we call the heroes of faith. Paul wrote to the believing Hebrews there. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, verse number 1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It is through faith. You know what? The scholars don't want you to believe that God did what he said he did. That we believe in faith that God said in the beginning there was nothing, and God said let there be light, and there was light, and God created it all. They said that's impossible. But you want to hear the great thing about their impossibility is that they cannot prove otherwise. Show me then how it was done. Do it again. If God didn't do it, if we had something to do with it, then if it all started with one little organism, then start up another world, why don't you? And let us watch it grow. Let it sustain itself. Let it create people. Let it create all that we experience here today if it all happened by chance and not by the hand of God. But we know through faith that the whole world was framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. He goes on to say, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. New life. In faith in God there is life. And God showed us that even at the very beginning with Cain and with Abel. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 goes directly with what John is teaching us in 1 John chapter 3, that the first thing that we have to do is to believe on the name of God. Believe on the Son of Jesus Christ and the work that he has done. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Why does God keep telling us over and over? You got to believe on the name of the Son of God. You got to believe in the finished work of the Christ, of the cross. You got to know that, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We got to know that if we would just confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died and that God raised him from the dead on the third day. He says all these things, you got to believe. You got to believe, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He cannot lead you if you do not believe in him. And he cannot lead you if you partially believe in him. He says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is God. And any variation of the God of the Bible says we don't believe. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. First, we must believe. And to believe that he hears us. Believe that he sees us. Believe that he knows our hearts. And he knows that our hearts, when our hearts are turned towards him. And the Bible says that he will reward us accordingly. Now, I want to show you a few examples. As we read here in Hebrews 11. And show you how it relates to what John writes to us in 1 John 3, where he says, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now what did Noah do? God told Noah it was going to rain. All evidence in the Bible is this. It had never rained before. God said it would. He told Noah he needed to build a boat. And a big boat. But how was Noah supposed to make that thing float? But in faith, he built a boat. He told Noah he had to fill that boat up with plants and two of every living thing. Now, there's no indication that Noah was a zoologist, that he was a rancher, that he had access to all these animals. But God told him to build a boat, and he built a boat. And by faith, he saw God do wonderful things. He saw God give him what he needed to build a boat. He saw God make water fall from the sky. He saw God march animals two by two. And those that he needed more than two, he saw God provide as well. He saw God in God's timing close the door. You know, the Bible says Noah didn't close the door. When it was time, God closed the door. God said the work has already been done. It was through faith that Noah was on the right side of that door. And God said it's time. Now, the Bible goes on and says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham left all that he knew and went to a place that he did not know, because God, he believed in the promise of God by faith. And his faith was counted as righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, 99. Because she judged him faithful who had promised, because God is greater than all things. And the Bible says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Now that's the way the Bible describes Abraham. He was as good as dead. But God, who is life, brought about new life. And it says, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, all this came because of faith. These all died in faith, 13 says, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. That's the definition of faith. They saw them far off and they were persuaded of them. And here's the definition of belief, and they embraced them. That's what it means to believe. And look what the next passage says. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, passing through, believing on the name of the Son of God and the promises. They only saw them far off, yet they believed. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. And what? Love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, first comes faith, then comes follow. First comes faith, then comes follow. Noah believed, then he built. Abraham believed, then he went. Sarah believed, then she conceived. First comes faith, then comes follow. Now, our follow is to love one another as he gave us commandment. And this is not the I love you, kiss, kiss, kiss love. That's not what God is talking about. But he's talking about a love that calls us to action as a love that Christ has for us led him to decisive action. Now, I want to show you a couple things about the love of Christ so that we might know the love that he expects of us. Look in John chapter 17. John 17, page 796. John chapter 17, beginning at verse number 14. Here's how Christ practiced love for us. And here's the promise that God gave to us if we would love as he loved. John chapter 17, beginning at verse number 14. Says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, that passage in itself is one that should give us hope for why we should carry on. He came into his own, and his own received him not. And he's given us his word, and the world rejects us. He says the servant can't be greater than his master. If they hated him, they're going to hate us. And that's just the standard, and we just need to look forward to it. Verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. This is his giving of himself. This is the love that God declares for us. And he says, I want you to love others just as I love you. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How will the world know him? Through those that already know him. So he has given us a commandment that we believe and that we love one another, that we share of what we know of him with others, so that they too might believe. He says in 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. You see the pattern. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love, here it is, wherein thou hast loved me, may be in them, and I in them.
Amen. Amen.
This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. What's his commandment? I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. We are to let Jesus lead us so that we might be a people believing in faith, believing on the name of Jesus Christ and loving as he has given us example. Now, John, one more thing here and then we'll move on. Nearing the close of his gospel, look in just a few pages to your right there in John chapter 20, page 799. John, nearing the close of his gospel of Christ, assures us once again of the faith that God expects, and of the length in which God went to prove his love toward us and his expectations of us. He said in verse 30 of chapter 20, he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. So many more. They're not even written in the book. He said, but these are written. Why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's his purpose. That's his commandment. That we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. Son Jesus Christ. And love one another. Believing in faith. Not just believing in faith, but also behaving in faith. Look at your bulletin again there at verse 24 of 1 John 3. He says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, we've looked a little at John the Baptist as John introduced him to us in John chapter 1. I'd like to look at John the Baptist a second time as we consider the behavior of faith that God expects of us. Look in John chapter 3, page 781 in your pew Bible. So you remember what we're dealing with here is this whole concept of behaving in faith. He says, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." Now, John the Baptist's disciples and the Jews in John chapter 3 were having some discussions about the process of purification and about baptism. And there seems to have been some concern that Jesus was upstaging John a little bit. That Jesus was now baptizing people on his own. He wasn't waiting for John the Baptist. They weren't meeting up. He was doing it on his own. And it appears that the disciples of John the Baptist wanted him to take some action. But John was a man who had his heart towards being led by the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when John introduced us to John the Baptist, he told people, I'm not that light. I'm just the one who comes crying in the wilderness. But he was a man who had a heart towards God, and he wanted to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ in all things and at all times. And he was not in competition with Christ, but he was in service with him. You know, sometimes I get the feeling that people want to talk about the power that they have and the this and the that. They sound like they're competing with Christ. You know, it's like you just let him be Christ. You know, you just be his servant. Let him do his thing. But it sounds like sometimes people are in competition with him. And that was not the behavior that John the Baptist displayed here. Skip down to verse number 25. Let me show you how John dealt with that. It says, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." In other words, he says, he is from God. He is God. And all those who come are coming because they recognize who he is. He says, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." He said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." He said, "But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth, he rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." Now, I want you to know that John was dwelling with the Savior. And John gave a great example. He says, the guy who stands with the bride, stands with the bridegroom. He says, he's not getting the bride, but he's happy for the fellow who is. And he says, "I'm just happy to be in the service of the Lord." He said, "I'm happy to be the friend of the bridegroom, knowing that he has come to claim us for his own." He says, "My joy is fulfilled." He was just dwelling with the Savior. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. And he that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." In other words, he's saying he is God. And let me tell you, buddy, you better believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and you better do like he does. He says, "He hath received his testimony, hath set it to his seal that God is true." We better believe. He that hath received the testimony of Christ hath set to his seal that God is true. That's God's desire, that we might believe on the name of God, the Son of God. He says, verse 35, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He says, he's not a little piece of God. Just because he's a man, he's all God and he's all man. He says, "For the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He says we got to keep his commandments. We got to keep his commandments, and we got to behave as he would behave, and he will dwell in us, and we will dwell in him. Now, I want to show you a little bit more. Go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 again, page 794 in your pew Bibles. He says we got to keep his commandments. We got to believe, first of all. Once we believe in him, then we can keep his commandments. And in keeping his commandments, he says he will dwell in us. And we can dwell in him, and we will dwell in him. And Jesus, in John chapter 14, you remember how this chapter began with Jesus telling them that he is the way and the truth. He's the life. He's the only way. That no man comes to the Father but by him. Here in John chapter 14, verse 23, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, there's our faith. He will keep my words. There's the commandments. He says, and my Father will love him. There's the dwelling. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, I want you to see how God just keeps on giving us the same message. You got to believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son Jesus Christ, and love one another. And he will come and he will dwell with us. Made me think of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, where the Bible simply says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. If we'll just believe. If we will just believe. Verse 24. So he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He says there's no variation of truth, guys. That's why those who would take the word of God and massage it a little bit, the end thereof are the ways of death. He says, I'm telling you, you got to keep my sayings. And if you don't, then what you hear, then you know that you're not God's. And he says, that's just God's way. That's God's plan. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, verse 25, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How will we know? How will we know we dwell with him and he with us? Well, the Bible answers. Right there in John chapter 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 in our text. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, he in him. And hereby we know, here's how we know, that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. By the Spirit of God that he has given to us. Now, I was thinking about David in my preparation, and David, God called him a man after his own heart, because David was a man, though he experienced many things, some successfully, some not so successfully, David's heart was always towards God. And God confirmed for David that his heart was with him, and God confirmed for David that his spirit rested with him. And I believe God does the same thing for us today. First, let's look at David, then we'll look at us. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. That's page 340 in your pew Bibles. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. God confirms it for David. While you're turning there, I'll let you know that David had spent a lot of time running in his life. He had been persecuted. After being selected as a young lad to be the next king after Saul's disobedience. And Saul persecuted him and pursued him. And David had opportunities to take Saul's life away, but he didn't, because he chose to follow God, and he knew that in God's time, he would be king, if that were God's will. And he did. And after becoming king, still his heart was toward God, and David had a desire to build God a house, and he shared his plan with Nathan the prophet. And Nathan gave his blessing. And then in a vision, God told Nathan that David was not to build him a house, but that he would build for David a house. I tell you what, that's one way to know that the Spirit of God rests in you. You know, I think that for me, sometimes I get so busy. I get so busy that it's hard to hear the Spirit of God talking to us. We need to slow down sometimes. We need to slow down sometime and let God talk to us. And I think that's kind of what happened here with David and with Nathan. God gave Nathan a vision, said David couldn't build a house. But he said, you go and tell David this, that I'm going to build him a house. And the Bible doesn't speak that David was disappointed that he didn't get to build God a house. But he was in much praise because God had given him a great victory, and that he had given him a glimpse into the future. And his faithfulness made him a part of it all. Now look in, we're just going to read a little bit of David's account here in 1 Chronicles 17. Skip down to verse number 16. Nathan's already talked to him, and now David is going to go and talk before the Lord. And he says, David the king came and he sat before the Lord. And that's that quiet time. We just need to sometimes sit before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and hast regarded me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What can David speak more to thee for the honor of thy servant? For thou knowest thy servant, O Lord. For thy servant's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all this greatness in making known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's where David started. This is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's where David started. David says here, I got it. There's no God like you. So there's no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And he says, and what one nation, verse 21, in the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people, to make thee a name of greatness and terribleness by driving out nations from before thy people, whom thou hast redeemed out of Egypt. For thy people Israel didst thou make thine own people forever, and thou, Lord, becamest their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established, that thy name may be magnified forever. He says, so there might be great faithfulness, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that thou wilt build him a house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. You know, David is not the exception to the rule, but he's an example to the rule of what Christ will do for a servant who allows him to be the leader of his life. That servant who takes that quiet time to talk to the Lord and to listen, that servant who believes with his or her whole heart that Jesus is Lord, and loves as he loves, and lives and acts in faith. The Bible says God is the great rewarder. He is the great rewarder. And he rewards even today. First there was David, And then there's you and I. Look in Romans chapter 8. We'll end there. Romans chapter 8, page 834. So we can see what God has promised to you and I. If we will believe, if we will love, if we will keep His commandment, if we will dwell in Him as He dwells in us. He says, and I will show you that my spirit, that my heart is with you. Romans 8, verse 1, very popular piece of scripture, begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So he says, all right, we know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He has given us. What's the Spirit, God, that You've given to us? He says, I've given you a spirit of life, not of death. I made you free from the law of sin and death. He says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because Christ is life, and He is light. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He says, there's no condemnation there. Why? Because the heart is not towards God. He says, but now, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, because there's no faith there. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Where do we go back to? How can Jesus lead us? First, we must believe. Then we must behave. He says, now, here we go. He says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Not mine, but the righteousness of God. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's how we know. The Spirit abides in us. He's given it to us. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Because Christ is life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We don't want that. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, Daddy. My Daddy. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do we know? John says, hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Paul wrote, here it is. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Our hearts are tuned with our God that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Let Jesus lead you. That's my point for today. But He only leads those who know Him. First, we must believe. And we must believe without any doubt on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we've got to love. That's His commandment. And then we got to behave. Behave. Keep His commandments. And dwell in Him and allow Him to dwell in us by the Spirit that He has given us. Let Jesus lead you all the way. That's what the old spiritual hymn used to say. Let Jesus lead you all the way. All the way from earth to glory. That ought to be our prayer for today. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that we would give ourselves completely over to you. That we would know without a doubt, Lord, that we believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. And then that in our hearts, Lord, our desire is to love as you have loved. And to live as you lived. And to let your Spirit have free reign in our lives. Lord, I pray that those who listen today have no doubt, but have complete faith. Lord, you've told us in your word that without faith it's impossible to please you. But in faith we can please you. In faith we can dwell with you. In faith we can know that you dwell in us. In faith, Father, we know that we're heirs, your heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we'll be with you one day. Lord, I thank you for your promise. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray that you would help me to build upon my faithfulness until I see you face to face. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.